Matthew chapter 22, verse number 1. Matthew chapter 22 and verse number 1. And Jesus answered and spake unto them again by parables and said, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a certain king which made a marriage for his son and sent forth his servants to call them that were bidden to the wedding, and they would not come. Again he sent forth others, saying, tell them which are bidden, behold, I prepared my dinner. My oxen and my fatlings are killed, and all things are ready. Come unto the marriage. But verse number 5 says, but they made light of it.
Right.
And went their ways, one to his farm, another to his merchandise. And the remnant took his servants and entreated them spitefully and slew them. But when the king heard thereof, he was wroth. And he sent forth his armies and destroyed those murderers and burned up their city. Mm-hmm. Then saith he to his servants, the wedding is ready, but they which were bidden were not worthy. Go ye therefore into the highways, and as many as ye shall find, bid to the marriage.
Yep.
So those servants went out into the highways and gathered together all as many as they found, both bad and good. And the wedding was furnished with guests. Yeah. And when the king came in to see the guests, he saw there a man which had not on a wedding garment. And he saith unto him, friend, how camest thou hither not having a wedding garment? And he was speechless. Then said the king to the servants, bind him hand and foot and take him away and cast him into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth, for many are called, but few are chosen. You may be seated. Thank you so much for standing. Our Heavenly Fathers, we humble ourselves before you this morning. We're so grateful for this wonderful day that you've given us, this beautiful day that you've allowed us to be a part of and live and have our being. And Lord, we humble ourselves and ask you to help us just for a few moments of time as we try to proclaim and preach the message that you put on our heart. I pray, Lord, for the congregation before me. We've already prayed for them several times.
Yes.
For those that would be here today, that you would work in every one of our hearts. Oh, God, I need you to work in my heart.
Yes.
And Lord, I pray you'll work in the church's heart.
Yes.
I pray for our guests today, Lord, that you'll work in their hearts as well. Lord, we don't know what people need in their lives, but Lord, you are aware of it, you know, and you know the needs. And Lord, I just simply ask that you'd supply that need and meet that need in all of our lives today. Whether it be a closer walk with you, whether it be getting right with God, or whether it be getting saved, Lord, whatever we need before us today, Lord, I pray you'd help us.
Yes.
And may the Spirit of God come in great power and do his work, and we'll love you for all you do. For we ask it in Jesus' name, amen. I want to draw your attention to those first five words in verse number 5.
Yep.
Verse number 5, the Bible says that after all that I've said here, he says right here that, but they made light of it.
Yes.
But they made light of it. Here the king has asked for some guests to come to his wedding that he has made for his son. And the Bible says here in verse number 3 that he sent forth his servants to call them that were bidden to the wedding.
Right.
And the Bible says, and they would not come.
Right.
Again, he sent forth his servants, saying, tell them which are bidden. Behold, I prepared my dinner, my oxen, my fatlings, and killed all things already. He said, come into the marriage. But they made light of it.
Yes, sir.
And went their ways, one to his farm, another to his merchandise.
Right.
So with that in mind this morning, I want God to help me to preach today. I want to bring the message God's put on my heart. I want to preach on man's indifference to God's invitation.
Amen.
Man's indifference to God's invitation.
That's right.
I'm trying to explain to you how men respond to God's invitation.
Yes, sir.
These are men that were invited by a king. I would say that the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords has given out an invitation to all today to come to his wedding, to come to him. But the Bible says here that they would not come and that they made light of it. So you got to be careful when God calls on you and gives you an invitation and how you respond to his invitation. But they made light of it. And that might not seem like a big deal, but as you read this parable, you'll find that this attitude which many sinners carry proved to be detrimental. They made light of the fact that they had been bidden to come to the ceremony of the king's son. And we know that God has made again the invitation to every sinner to come to the Lord Jesus Christ. We preach a whosoever will gospel. We believe that God died for the world. It matters not what color they are. It matters not how old or young they are. Whosoever can come and drink of the fountain of the water of life freely and be saved by the grace of God. You are a whosoever. I don't believe those that will say, well, the gospel is only for a certain elect and for a certain few. We're not Calvinists around here. We don't preach all that nonsense. We still believe in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son.
Amen.
That whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Amen. And so we notice, number one, I got 3 points here and we'll be done. Number one, we notice the fact that they were asked to come. It was nothing but the good grace of the king that they were invited to this wedding. Amen. Verse number three again, he said to his servants, call them that were bidden to the wedding, and they would not come. Amen. Verse number four, it says that tell them what you're bidden to come to the marriage. I want them to come to this thing. And down in verse number eight, he said the wedding was ready, but they which were bidden were not worthy. This word bidden simply means to invite one. He was bidding them to come. Ever since the fall, man, God has been inviting people back to him to have a relationship with him. We know Adam and Eve, our ancestors from the very beginning of time, disobeyed that command of God. And the Bible teaches us that they plunged the whole human race into sin. Every human being that's ever been born, ever will be born. I think it's up to about 7 to 8 billion people on planet Earth now. That's not including all the billions of souls that have lived for the last 6,000 years that this earth has been floating out in space. Billions upon billions of people have been born and come and gone. And God has given out the invitation unto whosoever will, let him come, and that they might have life. Oh, my friend, can I say it? Jesus said in John 5:40, and you will not come to me that you might have life. Oh, my friend, Jesus' plea for man in his last days.
Yes.
He said in the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture saith, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. This call to come to him is a call to come to a wedding. But I want to take a little bit further. This call that God gives out, this invitation that we're giving out this morning, my friend, is more than just to a wedding. Number one, it's the spiritual life. Amen. I want to say that without God, you do not have spiritual life.
That's right.
Without God being your Savior, you're half alive. You're alive physically. Thank God for that. I see you there, and you're looking at me, and you're alive. You're sitting up in the pew. You're conscious of what's going on. You are alive physically. But unless you have met the Lord Jesus, unless you bowed at his feet, you know nothing about what the Lord Jesus called the new birth. And until you get saved by the grace of God, you'll remain half dead. You're not all alive. You're not whole. Oh, thank God this world's looking for something to make them whole. It's called getting saved. It's called getting born again. And God gives us, thank God, makes us whole. And he quickens us. Ephesians 2:1, and you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin. Thank God it's good to be alive this morning. Amen. I'm glad I'm alive physically. I'm glad I'm above the dirt today. But I'm glad I'm alive spiritually. Amen.
Yes, yes.
Hallelujah. If you don't have God, you don't have it.
That's right.
And then the call to come to him is the call to satisfaction.
Amen.
A man is not really satisfied deep down in their soul until they really get born again. They might have a false and a fake sense of security and satisfaction, but I'm glad to know what satisfaction is really all about. A man without God does not know it. I lived 18 years in this world thought thinking that I was satisfied with what I had in life, but I've come to the sad conclusion one day that my life was missing something and I didn't have what it took to really be satisfied in the inner man. I'm talking about way down in there, and nobody can fix that but the Lord Jesus Christ. You can put religion in there, you can turn over a new leaf, you can try to do better, quit this and that. God's not looking for that. He just wants you to be willing to give him your heart.
Amen.
And he will save you and bring that satisfaction. You say, how do you know people ain't satisfied? Well, look what they're doing.
Sure, that's right.
Yes.
Look at this world.
Amen.
It's gone crazy.
Yes, sir.
They're doing all kinds of things to find that satisfaction, that missing peace in their life that will bring them, finally bring them peace and rest. But they're looking in all the wrong places.
Right.
Yes, we come to the right church because we got the answer, amen. His name's Jesus.
Right.
Jesus Christ. Oh, yes, the Christ of God. He's the answer, amen, to satisfaction.
Yeah.
This call is a call to come to be set free. See, no sinner can point the finger at God and say, I was never invited to come. Well, you've been invited today, amen.
Amen.
Jesus said, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest.
That's right.
Thank God. Amen. He said, take my yoke upon you, learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls.
That's right.
It's a call to come to rest.
Yes.
Oh, this world is looking for rest.
Amen.
Oh, I can see the anxiety and the stress and the pressure that this world is under. Oh, my friend. Oh, my goodness. I can't believe there ain't more people taking their lives than's already done it. Why? Because they don't have the answer. They're looking all the wrong places. They can't face the pressure. They can't take the depression and the anxiety and the stress. And the only way they figure is the way out is to take their own life. But that's not the answer. Answer. No, it's bowing at the foot by faith in an old rugged cross and saying, Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. I need to be saved and get saved by the grace of God. Amen.
Amen.
That's right. Amen. I'm glad I know that.
Yeah.
Oh, man, a woman without God does not have rest for the souls. It's a call for peace. They wanted peace. Man or woman without God does not have peace.
Amen.
You don't have it.
Right.
You say, how do you know? Because you can't have it without Jesus.
Amen.
Accessories, now all these religions and all they push and all that they say, I know that they don't have peace because they don't have the real thing.
Right.
You got to have Jesus. He's the real thing. Amen. Isaiah 57:21, there is no peace,
yep,
saith my God, to the wicked. That's what the Bible said.
Right.
These things is whatever sinner needs in their life. This sinner has no rest from sin. Sin will see to it, amen. Oh, my friend, they'll never be settled in their bosom of their heart and soul without meeting the Lord Jesus Christ. Men and women have searched this old wicked world over from one end to the other trying to find peace.
Yes.
Our society that we're living in right now is in a big uproar over Israel and Hamas and all of these things that are going on. I just give you the current event. They're looking for peace. They've tried to sign peace treaties. Honey, I'm going to tell you, that crowd is going to do all they want to do. There'll never be peace over there until that Prince of Peace comes and straightens everything out. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
I'm glad I'm not on the outside looking in. I'm on the inside looking out. Brother, I know what's about to happen. We as a people of God, we know what's about to happen. We got the scriptures that tells us what's about to happen. What's about to happen, preacher? Jesus is about to come. The rapture's about to take place. We're pulling out of here. And if you're not saved, you're going to be left behind to go through the great tribulation period. Amen. So I highly encourage you to get to Jesus if you don't know him today. And get saved by the grace of God. Oh, yes. Oh, the Bible said in Ecclesiastes 5:10, preaching right out of the Bible, I'm not telling you what I think, I'm telling you what God said.
Right.
He that loveth silver. Who don't love silver? You like silver? I like silver.
Really?
I like to have some silver and gold. I like money. Don't you like money?
Oh, yeah.
Everybody likes to have money, don't they?
Oh, yeah.
Well, guess what? He that loveth silver shall not be satisfied with silver. You have all you want. I don't think Bill Gates is the most richest, wealthiest man in the world any longer. I don't even know if Bozo or Betso or whatever that dude's name is, I don't even think he's the wealthiest man in the world anymore. I think it's some Arab that's now the wealthiest man in the world. He's got trillions of dollars. But that don't satisfy.
No,
it won't give him what he needs.
No, sir.
It may with all the physical stuff, material stuff. They still are missing peace down in there.
Yes, sir.
And all the money in the world, friend, will never fix that problem.
That's right.
I know people working their fingers to the bone. I want to be a millionaire. I want this. I want that. They have game shows. Who wants to be a millionaire? You can have it all, friend.
Yep.
If you don't have Jesus. It's not going to fix your problem.
That's right.
He that loveth silver shall not be satisfied with silver, nor he that loveth abundance with increase. This is also vanity. In other words, if you have money that you don't know what to do with, you have money to burn, it don't fix your satisfaction problem. Jesus said of him, man, thirst. Oh, is anybody here today come with a thirst? Come with something missing in your heart and your soul, you're hungry. There's something you can't put your finger on. There's something missing in your life. There's something that you're just missing. You can't really get that peace and that rest and contentment. And say, I tell you what it is, friend. His name's Jesus. If you'll come to him about an old-fashioned altar and pray, thank God he'll save you by the grace of God and your life will be made whole. Amen. Oh, thank God there is an antidote for that unquenchable thirst in the heart of man. Oh, yes, the invitation is to come to Christ. You're bidding this morning. You're invited today. The fact that you're asked comes to show you the grace and love of God. The fact that you're still living right now and you've not dropped off into hell is a very picture of the grace and the mercy of God, that God loves you. Amen.
Amen.
That's right.
Yes, sir.
Oh, he should have let me go to hell. He shouldn't have bothered me. But that's the reason Jesus came.
Amen.
To die for old sinners.
Amen.
You have to get rid of that pride issue. You're just an old sinner. That's what I am.
Amen.
That's what we all are.
Amen.
You say, dare you call me a sinner? I'm not dare call you a sinner. God said you're a sinner.
Exactly right.
For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That all means all. That means all of us. So if all of us sinned and come short of the glory of God, we are all sinners. There is none righteous, no, not one. We're not here trying to toot our religious horn this morning. You're looking at an old preacher, ain't nothing by the grace of God. Just an old sinner deserves hell. I ain't a bit better than you are. I ain't above you at all. I'm beneath the lowest of the low. We're not trying to think, we're not trying to impress you or make you think we're somebody or that we're anybody. I tell you, everybody here at Temple Baptist Church, we're just a bunch of old lowly sinners that the good grace of God came by one day and showed us we was lost and on our way to hell. And thank God he saved us by his grace.
Amen.
Don't you think we feel like we're better than you? We're probably worse than you. But for the grace of God. Oh, that's right. You can come today as the Spirit of God draws you and be saved, make home your heaven. God shall let us all go to hell.
Amen.
But his love and mercy is crying out today, come to me.
Amen.
I'll love you. Oh, so many people looking for love in this old world, and they don't know what love's all about. They looking for it in all kinds of relationships. Thousands have had thousands of relationships, all but to an empty heart. Oh, they try to satisfy it with immorality and sexual intercourse and all these things that are going on, drinking and doping in the world and sports and everything else. I'm telling you, it's a dead end street without God. You'll never be satisfied. I don't care how much of that you do. You got to fall at the feet of Calvary and trust Christ to save you. And thank God he'll save you because he loves you. Amen. And you talk about love. I never knew love growing up. I was 18 years old when I got saved. I had a daddy that cussed me every morning, cussed my mama every morning, run out the door squalling wheels. My mama sitting out the picture window crying. I wish he was dead. That's all I knew growing up, cussing and a fussing. But thank God one night in old fashioned altar, hallelujah, I found out somebody loves me. His name's Jesus, hallelujah. My daddy didn't love me. My mama didn't really care about me. But Jesus loved me, amen. But I found out somebody really loved me. And I'm glad I can report to you somebody really does love you. They're not trying to take advantage of you. They're not trying to get what they want from you and leave you like a wet dish cloth, amen, by the side of the road. I tell you, Jesus is a Savior that loves you. He loves your soul. He loves your heart. He loves your life. He wants to save you. He wants to salvage what's left of your life that you can live for him, amen. Oh, I never knew love till I met love himself.
Exactly.
Oh my.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, the fact that they were asked to come is a miracle.
Yes, sir, it is.
But let's notice number two, the foolishness. Their attitude was careless.
Yep.
Verse 5 said that the king's called, but they made light of it. The kings called and they didn't care about it.
That's right.
The kings called and they went their ways. The kings called and went about their own business.
Yeah.
How many hundreds of times over the 30 years I've pastored this church have I been in a very service just like this one this morning?
Yeah.
Preach my heart out and try to preach in love and compassion.
That's right.
And try to point people to Jesus.
Right.
And I see God deal with people and grip their heart. And they walk away and they walk out the doors. And many of them never to come back again. And they refused the Savior's invitation. They refused. They fought against that uncomfortableness that they were feeling. That's just called conviction. I tell you, let me let you in on a little secret because you're not aware of it. Some of you that come here and you get bothered, that's the Lord dealing with you. That ain't the preacher. That's called conviction. That's called the Holy Spirit's dealing with you, trying to get you saved, amen. Listen, I wouldn't want to pastor a church where everybody could come and we just all hoop and holler and everybody's all right. I'm not in it for that, brother. Our sinners on their way to hell. We need a church that's clean and holy, that's got the power of God on it, that sinners can be saved by the grace of God, amen. Don't consider it a light thing when the king calls on you. Puts you under conviction, deals with you about coming to him. See, the king has to confront you. And that uneasiness will come on you.
Oh, yeah.
That uneasiness. I've seen people come, not come back for months. Why? Because they got under conviction. God smote their heart. They didn't want to face reality. Well, I got to be okay. I pray. I've said this and done that. No, the Holy Ghost said you're lost.
Right.
And you didn't like it. Tell you right now, thank God for that.
Yeah.
I thank God for that uneasiness. I thank God for that conviction. You say, why? Because that's the only way a man or woman would ever come to God. God, you got to go through that pricking. You got to go through that drawing, that reproving of your heart and soul. God's got to humble your old flesh down before you'll ever come to Christ. We're such proud creatures. We're so proud and arrogant before this thrice holy God. He got to humble us down before we can ever come to him. Matter of fact, the Lord Jesus said, unless you come like a little child, you ain't coming in. So what does that mean? It means you got to humble down.
That's it.
Before God.
Right.
One of these days, all this proud world throwing their fists up in the face of God, cursing God with every breath they have, they're going to meet their due one day.
Amen.
That's right. It ain't going to be nice.
That's right.
The king is calling today, but you see man's indifference to God's invitation. They didn't care.
Oh my.
I don't care, preacher. I'm not come down here and get saved. Honey, I can't make you come down here and get saved. All I can do is plead with you and beg God the Holy Ghost to open your eyes, help you see your need for God. That's all I can do. You didn't come here today. You ain't signed no kind of agreement. We didn't come to you to get you to come join our church or to even come back. We're just having friend and family day trying to preach Jesus. Everybody that shows up, if they don't know him, and if you do know him, I say hallelujah. But if you're lost, we want you to be saved.
Right.
I mean, you even understand the miracle of what it is today to be in a position to even be dealt with these days.
Right. Yes, that's right.
God ain't in all this religion we see today.
Right, sir.
Oh, no. Hey, churches meeting all across this nation, God don't never visit.
Right.
They're full of religion. They're going through man-made religion.
Right.
That's right. They don't line up to the Bible. It's not scriptural.
That's right.
That's right. And man has got all these religions and stuff. You can have religion up your eyeballs and go to hell. We're not interested in you getting religion. Like I said, I'm not interested in you join the church unless you get saved. God leads you here. But I'm just simply saying we're just preaching Jesus and we're praying that God will speak to hearts. And I pray that nobody will be indifferent to the invitation that God gives them. See, the old sinner does not understand because they have no spiritual discernment. That's not talking down. That's just the truth.
Right.
The old sinner man has no discernment about him. They don't understand the spiritual things of God.
Right.
If you don't have the Holy Spirit living in you, the Bible plainly tells us that you're not saved. Number one, Romans 8:9. If any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of his. And then Jesus said, the Spirit of God's going to be in you. He'll lead you and guide you into all truth. And so if you don't have the truth living in you, you don't have the Holy Spirit living in you, you're going to be a part of something that ain't real, something that ain't right lined up to the Bible. Amen. You don't know any better. Amen. I'm not talking down to people like that. I don't want to have a condescending spirit when I say that. People are just lost. And the devil's to save them.
Right. That's it.
Let me give a few Bible facts about you and me today. About old sinners. Now I'm a sinner saved by the grace of God.
Yes, sir.
But here's some things the Bible says right in your Bible. The old King James Bible right here.
Yes.
What about a sinner? They're lost and not saved.
Right.
1 Corinthians 1:18. They're not born of God. 1 John 1:5.
Right.
They're condemned already, right now, here and now.
Yep.
John 3:17-18. The wrath of God abides on them.
Yep.
Something to think about now. If you're not saved, the wrath of God abides on you.
Yep.
You say, well, I ain't in hell yet, because God's mercy and God loves you. He wants you to save you.
Amen.
That's John 3:36.
Yep.
A sinner, the old sinner man, their sins are unforgiven. They've not been forgiven.
Right.
Ephesians 1:4. They're dead in their sins and trespasses, Ephesians 2:1. They're walking according to the course of this world, Ephesians 2:14. They love darkness more than they do light. That's the reason we can't get people to come to church. The church has got the light shines on them, they don't like it and they run.
Right.
That's John 3:19. They receive not the things of the Spirit of God. Can't deserve it. 1 Corinthians 2:14. Their names are not in the book of life. Luke 10:20. They're not justified before God. Acts 13:39. The old sinner man, the old sinner woman, they reject him on whom all the prophets agree. Acts 10:43. You say, I'm not rejecting. Well, you have, you ain't received him.
That's right.
They don't have the peace of God. Romans 5:1-2. They've not been reconciled to God. Romans 5:10.
Yep.
They shall not see life if you stay the way you are. John 3:36. This world's made God a liar. If they don't believe the record, God gave his son. 1 John 5:10 and Isaiah 53. They're enemies of God. Romans 5:10. Need to consider that. If you're not saved, you're an enemy to God.
Right.
Yep. He wants to change that if you let him.
Right.
He'll be the best friend you've ever had.
Amen.
Their minds are in rebellion against God. Romans 8:7. In their unredeemed state, they cannot please God. Romans 8:8. They have no hope and they're without God. Ephesians 2:12. They're unredeemed. Galatians 3:13. 1 Peter 1:18. All their good works are illegitimate. Don't count for nothing. Romans 7:4. They're clothed in filthy rags. Isaiah 64:6. They're not a child of God. Galatians 3:26. Let me say this right here. Everybody's not a child of God. Everybody ain't going to heaven.
I'm sorry.
We don't believe in that universalism, all that stuff. Listen, I don't disagree with this. Everybody is God's creation.
Sure. Exactly.
We're God's creation. We didn't evolve.
No.
We don't believe none of that. We believe what God said, in the beginning, God.
Yep.
Sure. Period. Right. Don't go no further. In the beginning, God. God created you. God made you. Amen.
Right.
That's right.
Right.
But I want to say that everybody's not God's children.
That's right.
Because you must be born again.
Yes.
To become a good child of God.
Yes.
You're God's creation, sure as the world.
Yes, sir.
No, you didn't come from a monkey, amen.
Uh-huh.
No. You didn't come from just a little, no. Uh-uh. No, you have been created in the image of God. God created you just the way you are.
Amen.
But if you don't know him, that's all you are to him, is this creation.
Right.
He wants to be your companion and the greatest friend you'll ever have,
amen,
if you let him save you.
Amen.
They're not a child of God. They all shall be damned. Every sinner shall be damned. Mark 16:16. They're spiritually, they've never been born. John 3:3-6. They've been blinded by the god of this world. In 2 Corinthians 4:4. That's what I hate about this stuff. The Satan's blinded the world. They can't, the very imagination of their heart, the thoughts of their hearts are evil continually.
Yeah.
Genesis 6:5. They're under the dominion and control of Satan.
Yeah.
Luke 11:20. By nature, they're the child of wrath. Ephesians 2:2. They have nothing of saving grace. They do not have eternal life with God in heaven. John 3:36. You will die your sins if you don't get saved. John 8:22.
Right.
Luke 16:23. Great message Jesus preached about hell. You will die and go to hell. And we don't joy in that. Well, it breaks our heart to even think about it.
That's right.
Their heart is deceitfully and desperately wicked. John 17:9. Their heart is fully setting them to do evil. Why so much evil, preacher? It's in us.
Right. Exactly right.
Why so much cussing and fussing and hate? It's in us.
Yes, yes.
God has to take that out. God's the only one that can take it out.
Amen.
And God will take it out if you let him.
Amen.
And fill your heart full of love.
Right.
The love of God.
Yes,
it's a wonderful thing.
Amen.
But I want to say, in spite of all that, God loves the old sinner.
Amen.
Romans 5:8. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us.
Amen.
God has provided a Savior for every old sinner, 1 John 2:2. The sinner's name is whosoever, John 3:16. Your sins can't be forgiven. It matters not how the depth of your sin, the viciousness of your sin, the filthiness of your sin, right, the vileness of your sin. There ain't no telling what people's done in this building this morning. I mean, you never tell your darkest secrets of the wickedness and the viciousness, the sinfulness we've been. But thank God the blood of Christ can forgive you and clean it all up and make it go all away.
That's right.
The old sinner cannot be saved by works. You're saved by grace.
Amen.
You won't be able to call upon him. You can't call on somebody you ain't believed. They cannot call on him whom he's not believed. Amen.
Right.
They cannot believe on him whom they've not heard. Thank God, I'm glad I'm getting to preach the gospel today and people's are listening. They cannot trust Jesus until you've heard the word of truth. Amen. You can't be born again until you believe Jesus is the Savior. You can be as sure as heaven as you put your faith and trust in God.
Amen.
Oh, do we understand this morning what's been afforded to you and I in this East Coast over here, to be living in the Bible Belt of old time religion? Probably not.
Right.
Some of the greatest men of God that's ever walked in shoe leather since the beginning of the time, since God started calling them in to preach, have come out of the North Carolina. What about that now?
That's right.
Oh, yes. Oh, can I say this morning, my friend, that you probably don't understand that. Don't make light of it. Don't let it be careless. Oh, I've seen people sneer, make fun of the preacher during invitation time. I've seen sinners get up and walk out during invitation time. I've seen people stop their ears to keep from hearing during invitation time. Why? They're troubled. They're bothered. They're uncomfortable. That's conviction. Don't fight it off. Don't run from it. Don't stifle it.
Right.
Oh, that's only the means that God has of getting you to draw you to come to Him. Oh, don't run from that. Oh, we need to welcome it and thank God for it. And we that are saved have been through that process and made it to Jesus. We thank God. God did that for us. I believe probably the most important part of the service is when we get down to having invitation time. And we ask people to bow their heads,
yes,
and to come to Christ.
Yes.
And that's the easiest part of the service, to lose our focus. I've heard people zipping up their Bibles when the preacher said, every head bowed and every eye closed. People zipping their Bibles, picking up their wrappers of their gum, making all kinds of noises, making all kinds of movements, and you don't realize we have prayed, we have sought God, we've the desire to get a message, to get to that very spot right there, to where we throw out the line, and maybe the Holy Ghost will pick somebody up and bring them to Jesus. Amen. Oh, my friend. Oh, listen. And then we're unconscious of this. We don't understand the distractions that people have in the service, how their minds can be so easily distracted. My friend, to keep from the focus and on what the man of God's saying, we're so easily distracted. It's a coy of the devil. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Let me say this, and I'm done. We see that they're finished.
Yes.
Their action was condemned.
Right.
The Bible says here in verse number 6, and the remnant took his servants and entreated them spitefully and slew them. When the king heard thereof, he was wroth and sent forth his armies and destroyed those murderers and burned up the city. Then saith he to his servants, the wedding is ready. They that were bidden were not worthy.
Yep.
What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying these folks in the scripture here missed their chance.
That's right.
To go to the wedding. And many a sinner this morning,
yes,
may miss their chance to go to the wedding of Christ, to be the bride of his church.
Amen.
Matthew 25, Jesus gave the parable of the 10 virgins. 5 were wise and 5 were foolish. The foolish had no oil, but the wise did. While the foolish went away to get oil for the bridegroom, verse 10 says, and while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in,
yep,
with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. And they that were ready went in.
Yes.
I wonder how many people I'm standing before this morning are not ready.
That's right.
You're not ready to meet God. A ready person never needs to get ready.
Exactly.
Millions upon millions this morning, billions upon billions are not ready. I'm going to slow down right here and give you everything I have within my heart and soul and spirit and might and strength.
Yes.
And I say this as tenderly and as gently and with all the humility that a preacher could ever have. If some of you would really, sincerely, and humbly admit, you know that you're not ready to meet God.
That's right.
You know deep down in your heart something's missing. You know there's a difference between you and your friend. There's been a difference made between my friend and myself. What's that difference? It's Jesus that made the difference. That's the reason they're different now. That's the reason people get out of sin and quit sinning and quit doing the things they used to do, because Jesus saves them and changes them for a better life.
Exactly right.
But it's just not left with them. It can be yours too.
Amen.
Thank God it can be all of ours if we want it.
Yes.
Many have just enough religion to ruin them.
Right.
And no doubt some of you got some religion today. You have some kind of a church background today. But it's never changed your life. It's never really put any kind of spiritual desires in your heart.
Right.
You may have even prayed and said, I said a prayer and I asked the Lord to save me. Well, that don't mean that you really got saved. I did it twice and didn't get saved.
Right.
The atmosphere's got to be right. The Holy Spirit's got to do that work. I can't do it. Religion will be the ruin of millions of people. They miss God and have a counterfeit, and they do not have Christ.
Right.
Because of man's indifference to God's invitation, they'll be left behind at the coming of Christ.
That's right.
This I don't care attitude, this not today preacher,
yep,
will one day be condemned by the Lord Himself,
yep,
as it was in this parable.
Yes, sir.
If you do not want Christ today, well, guess what? He may go to somebody else that wants him.
True. That's it.
If you continue to refuse Christ's invitation to you, that uneasiness you feel, I don't like coming here, it makes me feel weird, that's God working with you. That's God dealing with you. He wants you to see yourself lost, a sinner, so you can come to Him and get saved. But if you don't want it, He's liable to tell His Holy Spirit, leave them alone. Let them do what they want to. And you'll die and go to hell without God. That's not God's wishes.
No, sir.
It's not what God wants. But one day it'll be an end to that.
Amen.
If you bow and reject Christ, do your own thing, He'll go to somebody else and deal with them. You know, it's not so much as the fact that sinners reject Christ, they're indifferent to Christ's invitation. But one day the table's going to turn. And there'll be millions of people want to flock to the churches. When the rapture takes place, there are going to be thousands upon thousands of people running to some empty churches where people that were saved are gone, and they're going to want to call on God.
Yeah.
But it'll be too late.
That's right.
Mark my words, it'll happen.
Amen.
If some of you don't get saved, you're going to be a part of that crowd because Jesus is coming soon.
Yes.
And you're going to find out one day, my friend, they're gone. Where'd they go?
Right.
They left with Jesus. He came and got the church. Well, I'm going to run away from the church and we're not going to be here.
Amen.
There'll be people screaming and crying out on the altars, weeping, wanting God. But here's what's going to happen.
Yes.
He said, turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit in you. I will make know my words unto you, because I have called,
yep,
and you refused. I have stretched out my hand and no man regarded. But you have set at naught all my counsel and would not my reproof. You were indifferent. You didn't want it then. God said, I also will laugh at your calamity.
Yeah.
I will mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as a desolation, and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish cometh upon you, then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer.
Right.
They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. For that they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord.
Right.
They were none of my counsel, they despised all my reproof. When God calls and man refuses, there'll come a day that man will call, but God will refuse.
Yep.
I can't even begin to imagine the horror and the grip of souls that finally reached the point. I'm tired of sinning. I'm tired of this mess. I'm tired of my life. I'm tired of feeling this way. I want to go to God and get help. And they can't get it.
That's right.
Because they waited too late. I don't know. For all I know, this could be the very last invitation that ever be given here at the Temple Baptist Church.
Yes. You're right.
Jesus could come back this evening And we won't have to worry about coming back to church tonight, church.
Right.
Oh, my. Don't put off God. Billions will start calling, but it'll be too late.
Amen.
They got to the altar, but they got one day too late.
That's right.
All I can say is you need to quit being indifferent to God's invitation. You need to quit pushing him off when he deals with you.
Amen.
Can I say this as humbly as I know how, and you wouldn't take offense? Would you please not be offended about what I'm about to say? Because I love you. But some of you are here, and we have visitors that have been here before. And this preacher, I have seen God speak to your heart. I've seen God make you uneasy in the service. And again, that's God drawing you and working on you and bothering you. You don't feel none of this at these other places. And I'm not saying these other places ain't right, but I'm just simply saying you don't. Why do you always feel uncomfortable coming to temple? Don't feel uncomfortable going anywhere else. Because we got God in our church, the real God.
Yes.
And he works in conviction. He works through the preaching of the Word of God and convicts sinners.
Yes.
And if you're not real careful, God will let you be that way one more time today.
Right.
And if you walk out and you're indifferent, you stiffen your neck, I ain't coming. God will let you have your way, ma'am, sir.
Right.
You may not never feel it again. And you'll never be really, truly saved.
That's right.
Born again by the grace of God. Indifference. What does this indifference mean? It means uncaring. Thousands of sinners don't care nothing about their eternal souls. I hope that you've not got so far this morning, all of you people that are before me today, that you've got so far that you don't care about your eternal soul. I would like to think and hope that you do care about your eternal soul.
Yes, that's right.
A lot of people don't care about their eternal soul. They're indifferent. They're unresponsive. If you don't respond, that could be very dangerous.
Yeah.
I've seen people walk out of this church never to come back again. They never come back. Why? They died. You got to respond to an invitation. You got to get beyond your flesh and your pride and forget about people.
Amen.
I promise you one thing. The members of the Temple Baptist Church are your friend. If you're visiting today, we are your friend.
Yes.
And we love you.
Yes.
We're not here to make you feel uncomfortable or embarrassed about anything.
No.
We would like to think that you just feel so wonderful and peaceful and joyful. But you won't feel that way if you're not saved. And you can't till you get saved in this church. And I thank God for that.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Don't be unresponsive.
Exactly.
Then there's indifference. They're uninterested. They're more concerned about other things. Then some are just unmoved. They're not touched. They're not stirred. Well, the king in the passage said, "Would you come?"
Right.
And they made light of it.
That's right.
Jesus said, and I'm closing. Jesus said, "Search the scriptures. For in them you think you have life. For in them you think you have eternal life. And they are they which testify of me." Some of the saddest words in the Bible. John 5:40.
Yep.
And these are not my words.
No.
These are the words of Christ. "And you will not come to me that you might have life."
Right.
See, it's embarrassing to the flesh. See, we're old fashioned around here. We have an altar that we still use. We still believe in giving the invitation and people coming forward and bowing in the altar. That's how we still operate that way. A lot of churches don't do this stuff anymore. We believe that's the way about. So your flesh don't like that idea.
Right. You're right.
I don't like that idea of getting up and walking down there. Can I tell you something, friend?
Tell
me. The night that God saved me, there's about 400 people in that church. A lot of them I didn't know. I'm going to tell you right now, I didn't care.
That's right.
About anybody that was there.
Amen.
But Joe, I got on such conviction. The Lord told me so bad. It got to where it wasn't between me and everybody else around me.
Amen.
It became between me and God alone.
That's it.
It didn't matter to me what my pastor thought.
Nope.
It didn't matter to me what the deacons thought. Anybody in the church, any of them visitors. I was so troubled at the thought of falling into hell. I did not care what anybody in that crowd would think of me if I went down there. And you know what? I went down there. And you know what? God saved me that night.
Amen.
But I had to step on the neck of pride and forget about all that to get to God.
Yep.
And that's what every sinner in an old-fashioned Baptist church will have to do all across this nation today. If they come to God, they're going to have to step on the neck of pride and forget about what everybody thinks about me. It don't matter what anybody thinks about you, sir or ma'am. It's what God thinks about you that really matters.
Amen.
And Jesus said, you will not come to me that you might have life. Well, how am I going to have life, preacher? Come to him.
Amen.
By faith.
Amen.
Come to him.
Amen.
You will not come. My question is, will you come?
Amen.
Will you come?
That's right.
Will you come?
Amen.
We have people in this church can take the Bible if you need to be done to read you some verses of Scripture and show you how you can be saved if you don't know how to be saved.
That's right.
There's so much gospel that's been preached in America that every sinner in America will know how to get saved. But some of them don't.
That's right.
But we know how to get saved.
Amen.
And we know how to tell people to get saved.
Yep.
And if you don't know what you need to do to get saved, praise God, come and we'll show you.
That's right.
If you're here today and you know what you need to do to get saved, I highly encourage you to do it.
Amen.
Do it.
Amen.
It's not between you and me. It's between you and God.
That's it.
And God loves you today.
Yes, he does.
He's the greatest friend you'll ever have. I thank God for friends and family. Amen.
Amen.
Thank God for my friends.
Oh, yes.
I thank God for some of my friends, Brother Joe, that care enough about me. And they can see I wasn't saved and I needed Jesus.
Right.
They care enough about me to invite me to church where God could deal with me. Amen.
Amen.
Thank God for my real friends that really love me.
Yes.
A lot of people got a lot of friends, but not real friends. You say, how do you know? Because they'll drop you soon all the fun's over with.
Yep.
They'll leave you high and dry. A real friend will be there with you through the thick and thin.
Amen.
Amen. Whether you got money or not. Well, you got this or that or not.
That's right.
Jesus will never leave you nor forsake you if you'll come to him. Oh, that somebody would help my heart.
Amen.
Help my heart this morning. Just come to the Lord.
Yes.
Come to Christ.
Yes.
On this wonderful day and meet this friend of all friends, this great Savior that we have.
Hallelujah.
That longs to save the world if they'd come to him.